Time gets away. Here we are, folks. Grace and peace. In the name of Jesus the Christ, is to the gathered, beloved community, both in person and online, which might be a little more people today. It's the third Sunday after Epiphany 2026. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and this service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I'm joined by our worship team, production engineer, and our chancel choir. Our liturgists today are Pastors Marjorie Briggs and Rachel Garris. Mayflower's moderator, Tom Hacker, comes now to make a very important announcement.
In accordance with the requirements of State of Michigan statutes and the Mayflower Congregational Church bylaws, I hereby announce that the annual meeting of Mayflower Congregational Church will be held today after church in the sanctuary. At the meeting, written reports will be presented as published in the annual report book, elections will be held, and such business will be transacted as may come before the membership. If you haven't received your copy of the annual report book, see Lorraine immediately after church. Thank you.
One correction, we are having the annual meeting in the Friendship Center. Okay, is that correct, Tom? Whoever else, yeah, it will be in the Friendship Center. So we have a little break. You can use the facilities if you need to, and then you all also can sit where you would otherwise, and you can consume some of the goodies as we conduct our annual meeting. This week, I was out on the sidewalk here watching our custodian, Joe Pitchford, take the big snowblower, and he was blowing off all the sidewalks, and I greeted him, and I saw just a look on his face, and he said, you know, he said, I have never, ever gotten the kind of Christmas cards and notes in my whole life, and he said, I tried to write a note, he said, but I want you to share with the congregation that all of the cards and remembrances at Christmas time, he said, just flat out, he said, it made my Christmas. He said, please let Mayflower know. And so that was a very special moment in terms of reaching out to someone who does not attend on Sunday mornings, but is very much a part of our beloved community, Joe Pitchford, our very faithful and talented custodian that we are happy to have around here. So when you see some of the effects of that, and just be reminded that it doesn't happen automatically when places are cleaned, and he's plows our lot on a regular basis. This snow today kind of catches us all off guard, but you're here. Everybody's safe. Nobody ended up in the ditch, I assume. Anybody have to get out of the ditch this morning? Okay, we're good. And to our perhaps a little larger group online, welcome, stay safe, and stay warm. For all of us, please be aware of our worship protocol and mission statement, which are printed in the bulletin. And of course, we do not pass offering plates during worship, as your presence is a gift to us and a gift to God. We do value thoughtful stewardship here, and if you have come prepared with a financial offering, there are receptacles at each entrance to the sanctuary. And we always set aside a holy moment in worship to honor God with all that we have and all that we are. As always, we thank you for your caring and sharing in such a generous way. Next Sunday is February 1st, and it will be a special day as we observe and celebrate Black History Month with our liturgy, music, and sermon. As your pastor, I want to offer a counter-narrative to the current edict to abolish the Departments of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion on college campuses, including our own college at Olivet. I heard an impassioned lament from our person that is in charge of that at Olivet, and a lot of sadness around that, and of course in government agencies. And to be honest, it's just an anathema to me. Regardless, join us as we increase our sensitivity to the continuing scourge of racism and bigotry, which unfortunately still exists in our country. We are primarily a white congregation, and our observance and celebration honors our Black congregants who honor us as they love and participate in our beloved community, side by side with love and tenderness. So join us. The service will be a little different, but it will emphasize Black History Month, and we are paying special attention to it next week. 2 weeks from today, February 8th, Reverend Peter Robinson from the Pilgrim Congregational United Church of Christ in downtown Lansing will be exchanging pulpits with me as I will be preaching in his pulpit. So please be prepared to offer Reverend Robinson a warm welcome to Mayflower. He's looking forward to it, as I am looking forward to being at Pilgrim. Today's worship theme is A Reasonable Request. If you take a peek in the bulletin, you might see in the Psalm 27 what that request is. So, with that, let us now be in a spirit of worship.
Good morning, Mayflower. Good morning. It would be difficult not to reference the weather, as we have just endured some nearly record-breaking temperatures this weekend, and we're still in them. Brr! As always, here at Mayflower, we hope you all feel warmly welcomed. Today's worship theme is based on Psalm 27, one of the greatest of the Psalms. It is good to be reminded of one of our bedrock beliefs, that God is our light, our salvation, and our stronghold. These three things reflect our human need for guidance, deliverance, and a helping hand. The request the psalmist makes to God is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. Pastor Mark will help us discern what that might mean, but for us at Mayflower, we have much to be thankful for. God has blessed us and made this house of worship a truly beloved community for so many. God is indeed our light, our salvation, and our stronghold. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, our light and our salvation, when fear whispers and shadows stretch long, you steady us with courage that does not deny reality, but refuses to be ruled by it. Gather us now into your presence, not as people who have it all figured out, but as seekers who long for what truly matters. Shape our desires toward your dwelling place, toward justice that is beautiful, toward mercy that is lived, toward truth that sets us free. Root us in a confidence that does not harden us, in a hope that does not turn away from the world's pain. As we worship with our music, prayers, and the spoken word, teach us to trust your light, to seek your face in one another, and to walk unafraid into the work of love you have set before us. Amen.
Snow.
As we present ourselves to God during this holy moment of worship this morning, we are thankful for the many ways that God has been our light and our stronghold throughout 2025 at Mayflower Church. With gratitude for the faithfulness and generosity of this beloved community, we now, all of us, offer our time, our talents, our treasures, and ourselves, trusting that God will continue to lead us step by faithful step into 2026. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, you are our light and our salvation and our stronghold in times of fear. In the stillness of this place, we gather your presence around us because we desperately need it. We give thanks that even in the midst of our most honest moments of doubt and anxiety, you remain steadfast. You do not abandon us to the darkness, but walk with us into it, illuminating just enough of the path ahead for us to take the next step in faith. We come before you with heavy hearts once again as our nation is shaken by another loss of life involving federal agents. The death of a Minneapolis resident occurring in a context of immigration enforcement that has already caused deep pain and protest across this land has again stirred grief, anger, questions, and fear, as well it should. We pray for the family and friends of those whose lives have been cut short, that they might feel your comfort and the embrace of community in their mourning. We pray for all who are wrestling with confusion about what happened and how it happened, for all who are asking hard questions about justice, accountability, and the dignity of all humanity. So strengthen us, O God, not to turn away from the truth, not to be silent, but to seek it with courage and yet with patience. Grant us restraint even during our outrage as investigations continue and as we wait for all the facts to emerge. Help us to withhold ultimate judgment while honoring the pain and cries for justice that fill our streets and fill our hearts. We pray for our nation's leaders and all in positions of authority, some of whom desperately lack compassion, wisdom, and humility, that we desperately pray for our leaders. Restore unto us our sanity, our compassion, our wisdom, and our love. We lament that too often our public life reflects division, hate, and strife, more than empathy and power, more than vulnerability. Yet even here we pray, Lord, give courage for us, for me, as a member of the clergy, to stand with other clergy who have dared to show up, speaking truth in love and with conviction, and then to be arrested. Give all of us the strength to advocate for policies that protect lives and uphold dignity, that we might reflect your heart for the vulnerable, the stranger, and the alien, which we all once were, as you were too. Help us never to walk away from some of the clearest mandates in all of Scripture and from those for whom our Lord gave his very life. as a beloved community formed in the way of Jesus. Give us the courage to pray and to act, to vote and to speak, to love without retreating into fear. Help us to be instruments of your peace where there is violence, agents of reconciliation where there is division, and bearers of your light where shadows loom. We pray for your church in this moment. May we not shrink from discomfort, nor from the hard work of embodying your justice and your mercy. Equip us to respond not only with words, but with deeds and actions that reflect your loving heart. In all of our concern for the troubles of the world, we remember those dear to our hearts and whose needs are upon our minds. Hear now the names we speak aloud, trusting that you know each person and each need even before it is spoken. And now, as we join our voices together, trusting in your presence that goes with us into the week ahead, we pray your prayer, which has become our prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the Old Testament book of Psalms, chapter 27, verses 1 and 4 through 9. Would you want to live the rest of your life in this building? Obviously, we need some perspective on what the psalmist means when he asks us to live in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. Hear now these words. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You who have been my help, do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O God, on this cold and snowy day, bring a warmth of the Spirit into our hearts and in our presence as I offer these words humbly. Amen. This is one of the greatest psalms. It begins with words of affirmation that in my background I can hear thunderous voices, a couple sermons that I remember. Especially in repeating this verse. Some of you have heard songs, anthems that have been set to this text. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? These are the opening words of Psalm 27, and they sound so confident, so settled, so sure. And yet, if we are honest, they can feel just a little jarring when spoken out loud on a Sunday morning, even to me. And you might ask, why? Because here we are, gathered in worship, singing hymns and songs of trust, offering prayers of confidence, affirming that God is faithful and good. And then we step back into lives that are often shaped more by fear than by certainty. This is the paradox at the heart of faith. We declare trust even as fear refuses to go quietly. Psalm 27 does not pretend that fear is imaginary or that faithful people never feel afraid, fearful, or anxious. I might just take a moment this morning for all of us to think through the things that worry us, concern us, or make us afraid. Aside from all the fears that are personal in nature, how can we not be fearful in the face of the dizzying cycle of news we are subjected to on a daily basis? We live in a time when news is more available and more instant than it ever has been in history. That has some good things, but it also has some very negative things for us. Instead, this psalm invites us into a mature, honest spirituality, one that can hold faith and fear in the same breath. And at the center of this psalm is what I would call a reasonable request. When we enter the house of the Lord, especially on Sunday mornings, we are invited to make declarations of faith, and we do and we should. We sing words that are often stronger, though, than what we feel. We pray prayers that sound confident, even when our hearts are unsettled or unsure about how the prayers will be answered. We affirm the goodness and reliability of God, even when the week behind us has given us plenty of reasons to doubt. This is not hypocrisy. This is worship. It's what we do. Worship is not about pretending everything is fine. We sometimes do that. How are you? I'm doing great. How are you really doing? I don't want to talk about it. Right? Worship is about telling the truth about who God is, even when our circumstances have not caught up yet. How many times have we played the game? It's part of what we do. It's part of what I call a necessary dishonesty when somebody says, how are you doing? Psalm 27 begins exactly this way. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? These are not words spoken from a place of ease. These are words spoken against fear. Because if fear were not present, these declarations would not be necessary. Let's be honest. Fear is not hard to come by these days. When I was in school, as in grade school, you remember hiding under your desk when the bomb shelters were all of that? We had some fear back then in kind of a different way. Fear has gripped us because there has been so much change in our society. Fear about violence that feels random and relentless. Think about the places not so far away that have experienced terrible violence. Fear about political instability and the erosion of trust in government. Fear about climatic events that seem more intense and more frequent. Have you seen the news? We spent some time watching the weather map yesterday because we have loved ones who are deadly in the path of the storm Fern. And I called both of my sons who are in that path. and both of them are prepared for a power outage and have had to make plans about where they will go if they are out for several days. Some of those places are not used to winter weather. How about Charlotte, North Carolina, where my sister and brother-in-law live? Raleigh, North Carolina, where my son, his wife, and precious two grandchildren live? In Richmond, Virginia, where my other son lives with his wife and granddaughter, Sage. And not only that, but fear about the economy. Have you checked grocery prices lately? Does it frustrate you when the prices keep going up? Or health care, the cost of it, especially for our children, our grandchildren? Or whether institutions we once relied on can still hold, including the church. In recent months, we've watched ongoing wars grind on with no clear resolution in sight. We've seen deeply polarized elections around the world, strained democracies, especially our own, and witnessed communities, sometimes very close to home, reeling after sudden acts of violence. Do you remember the day, Sunday, following what happened at Michigan State? Remember singing the alma mater? And even, I think, did we sing the fight song that day too? I think we did, in honor of our beloved institution in the community adjacent to us. Well, add to that the personal fears that we don't want to say out loud, the test results we're waiting for, the relationships we can't repair, the grief that still catches us off guard, the quiet worry that the future feels less secure than we had hoped, and even especially so for our children and grandchildren. Faith does not cancel those fears, and the psalmist does not scold himself for feeling them, because he was human, and so are we. Instead, the psalm moves from declaration to desire. He makes a reasonable request. One thing I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. And this is the heart of the psalm. But it raises important questions for us. Is this request about simple refuge and safety, or is it about avoidance and escape? All I want to do is just live in your house, O Lord, and let the world do whatever. On the surface, it sounds like a longing to stay where things feel secure, to remain in the place where God feels close, to dwell in the sanctuary away from threats and troubles. And if we are honest, that impulse is deeply human and embedded within all of us. But when fear arises, our instinct is to find places, routines, or beliefs of retreat. Places can include the church, the office, the shop, the man cave, the sitting room, or the TV. Routines of retreat might include a busy schedule, keeping it that way, or constant avoidance. Or beliefs of retreat, and I've heard this, well, we'll simply wait until things get better. Or the more the religious idea that, well, these are the signs, the end times, and it won't be long, and Jesus will come back, and we don't have to worry about it. All of this insulates us from what feels overwhelming. So, is the psalmist asking God for protection? Of course. We always ask, and we should ask God for protection. And even on a day like today, we know that those prayers can be answered. He also asked to behold the beauty of the Lord. This is not about denial. It's not about some, creative person that can't think in reality. It's about orientation. To behold God's beauty is to allow our vision to be reshaped, to see the world not only through the lens of threat, but to see the world through the lens of divine presence. The temple for Israel was not a bunker. Mayflower is not a bunker. Israel and Mayflower are places for formation. Israel and Mayflower should be places where the people remember who God is. And it should be where we rehearse the story of God's deliverance, where fear is named, not suppressed. The house of the Lord is never meant to be a permanent hiding place. It is meant to be a grounding place. So help us, God. One of the most striking things about Psalm 27 is what it does not include. There is no response listed here from God Himself. God does not speak. There is no divine reassurance, no promise that enemies will disappear. Instead, there is only hope. Hope for God's light, hope for God's strength, and indeed hope for God's salvation. Hope in the face, however, of God's absence, as there is no speaking of God. But absence matters because it reflects our lived experience. So often we pray and heaven feels quiet. We ask for clarity and receive none. We plead for deliverance, but we keep waiting. Faith in these moments is not certainty. It is choosing to trust without resolution. That is why love is the natural outgrowth of faith and hope. You remember those three words looped together in the New Testament, faith, hope, and love? When we love unconditionally, we do it without any certainty of outcome, much in the way faith and hope operate. Which brings us to the central question this psalm places before us. Can we experience God's light, God's strength, and God's salvation only within the refuge of our worship? Or can these gifts sustain us when we leave this place and step back into our lives that generate fear and anxiety? Well, let me give you a personal perspective. As your pastor, I will tell you plainly, the highlight of my week is Sunday morning with you, and I'm thrilled to see how many people came today in the snowy weather. We were guessing on the way in today, because it was a fairly white-knuckle drive from Flint, how many people would show, and we thought, well, if we had a dozen people here, we'd be doing good. So, folks, you've far exceeded my expectations today, with all due respect to those of you here in your pajamas with a cup of coffee. And that's okay, too. But there is refuge here for me as well as you. There is strength in familiar hymns and new ones that we learn together. Sometimes we all kind of gravitate for familiar hymns, but my question is, how did those hymns become familiar? We learned them. Barb, I give you a lot of credit for helping us learn new hymns in the choir as we teach and learn. And then new hymns can become familiar ones that mean something to us. There is comfort for me in shared prayer. Even as we do the ritual part of our worship, our Father who art in heaven, meaningful to me. And the reciting of sacred texts, when one of our liturgists, and we have so many gifted ones that read the sacred texts each Sunday morning, and time-honored liturgy as well as creative and newer ways to worship. And of course, I feel privileged to offer heartfelt, passionate perspective as I stand behind this holy desk and sometimes listen to others with whom this pulpit is shared. I also find refuge in the quiet retreat of my study where I prepare, contemplate, pray. I enjoy and look forward to what happens after morning worship in the Friendship Center when we break bread and experience the intimacy of fellowship as only a beloved community can. I love these spaces. Can you know that even though it's a relief sometimes with all that we put into Sunday morning, I think to myself when I drive home, it's going to be a whole nother week before I see many of you. And that's true. But if faith only works here, then it is incomplete. What we receive in worship is not meant to stay in worship. You might say it this way. You know, when you go to Las Vegas, you hear the term, what happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. Well, let me put it this way for Mayflower. What happens at Mayflower should not stay at Mayflower. What happens here is meant to be carried and shared and lived. And I know in so many ways it is. That's the assurance that I want you to know. This is not a scold. This is an encouragement to all of us. And a thank you for carrying the life of Christ beyond this sanctuary. The psalmist's request is reasonable because it asks for formation, to dwell in God's presence long enough to be shaped by it, so that when fear returns, and it always does, we are not undone by it. Active faith does not deny fear. It does not shame anxiety. It does not offer simplistic answers. Instead, it asks, how do we live faithfully with uncertainty? How do we trust God not only for rescue, and sometimes that's the only way we pray, is God, please help and please do this and rescue and deal with this situation. But how about praying for God's accompaniment, standing and walking beside us and with us as we are taught in the Holy Scriptures? How do we embody courage in a world that gives us so many reasons to be afraid? And sometimes we're afraid to acknowledge that fear. Psalm 27 suggests that the house of the Lord isn't confined to walls as beautiful as this place is. I am reminded so many times, especially on sunny days, but even today, the beauty of these stained glass windows that remind us of so much. It is a posture, a way of seeing and a practice awareness that God is not limited to calm, the calm that typically exists in the sanctuary, but extends into conflict, grief, and ambiguity, where our lives are played out. This is why the psalmist can say later, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me." These are not the words of someone who has escaped fear. They are the words of someone who has learned to pray honestly within it. There is another verse which echoes for me. It's one I learned, one of the very first verses I ever learned in the Bible and memorized. And it was in the King James. I kind of have to remind myself in the newer version, but it's the same thing. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Psalm 119:105, if you want to know. Notice what is not said in that verse. It does not say that God gives us floodlights like we want. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just have a floodlight into the future? Oh, that would be so easy. But it would take away the adventure of it all, because life is an adventure, and I somehow think our Creator has designed it that way. It does not say that God illuminates our entire future. God gives us a lamp, sometimes just enough to light the next step. I will never forget when I signed up to climb Mount Rainier and I trained for 6 months. It was the biggest thing I ever did in my life, a physical adventure. And we had headlamps, and I turned mine on and I could see 3 or 4 feet in front, enough to see where the crevasses were. Our guides helped us too. But it reminded me that that is the lamp to our feet, where we can see the next step, but we can't see down the road. Enough clarity to keep going. Enough presence to trust that we are not walking alone. We all love bright sunshine. Did you enjoy, was it yesterday? Yeah, that was nice. But we live where darkness abounds. Faith does not eliminate the darkness. Faith teaches how to walk through it. The psalmist's reasonable request is not to be spared from fear, but to be sustained within it. To know that God remains as the stronghold of our lives. To trust that salvation, however we understand it, does not depend on our certainty, but on God's faithfulness. This psalm is about a trust that God's presence is not dependent on answers that come quickly. They so often don't. But we gather to declare trust. We leave to live courageously, and we return again and again, not to escape the world, but to be strengthened for it. And that, my friends, is not an unreasonable request to God. Amen. In benediction, we are the light for each other and for the world. May it be so. Here, there, and everywhere. Go in the peace and the strength, the light and the salvation of God. Amen. Thanks, choir, for leading us, and you did it without me. As if they needed me for that. Well, we all need each other. Just want to make sure that even if you're not a member, you are welcome and encouraged to attend our annual meeting today. We have a lot to do, but we usually get it done in pretty short order because there's so much work that has already gone into it. We do have one big decision, and there might be some surprise happiness with that. That's a little primer just to get you going. And you can eat and share even as we conduct our annual meeting. I see a green jacket or two here this morning. How about those Spartans that took care of business big time yesterday, didn't they? Wow. It was the only time I saw Tom Izzo crack a smile at the end of the game. And I was like, yeah, his team performed rather well yesterday. I want to tell you, no team performs better than the team I'm looking at right now. God be with us all. Amen.